Amen. I am excited and I am believing. I don't want this just to be where I am sharing and teaching. I want to see God work in our midst, and I believe that is what he is going to do. And so I'm just going to start off sharing before I reveal my amazing prop that I really feel very privileged and honored, because I've gone from bringing my own props to having a prop department that have made this one for me when I decided I needed something that I just didn't have and I couldn't find. And when you see what it is, you'll understand it wasn't something that would be laying around in your house. And so I rang and spoke to Mark, and Mark and Sam have made today's prop for me. And then Kirsty has added to it. And so I feel very, very privileged and honored that I now feel we have a prop department in our church. So, you know, I thought, Lord, maybe I should say this publicly rather than privately to Mark, but ever since he sent me the photo of the finished product, then I began thinking of all these other sermons I'd like to do and things which were out of my reach, but now, no, they're not. I have Mark and Sam on the job, so I will not overload you with work. It's okay. Okay, I want to start off sharing that one of the things I enjoy is I enjoy watching murder mysteries. Now, when I say that, some people laugh because my murder mysteries are very low-level, Hallmark murder mysteries. So not they're not gruesome, they're not intense. I do not do intense, I do not do gruesome. And that you, in any area of my life, I have, you know, a fairly narrow, you know, perception of what I watch and what I allow into my mind, because I know what I can handle. And then I discovered that there were these things a few years ago called Hallmark murder mysteries. Sorry? They are works of art, they are amazing, and in an hour and a half you find out who did it. It's all very clean, and it isn't, as I said, it's not intense. So I enjoy watching them. I enjoy watching how the detectives try to work out who did it by getting all these kind of clues, and they're building a case to ensure that the truth comes out. Now, I don't know a lot legally. I have a son-in-law who knows a lot more than I do. But, you know, I know in order to go to court, a lawyer must have a pretty solid case. So if you're going to court to represent and you're trying to say that he did it, he killed, you know, the little old lady down the road, or he killed that person, you're not going to hear many lawyers say, "I think he did it. Most possibly it was him. We're pretty sure it was him." Now, that would get thrown out, is that right? In any court. You know, if you want to have a lawyer, if he's going to court in a situation like that, wants to be totally beyond reasonable doubt, if he's going to convince a jury to be beyond reasonable doubt. And he's got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. So he's got to build a case. I don't know many people who would hire a lawyer the day before and say, "Come and defend me tomorrow. I need you to get me off this charge," because they will build a case. So when I was praying, the Lord said to me, "I want you to start the message by building a case for why I am a healer, a case that will prove beyond reasonable doubt to anybody here, to anybody watching online, to anybody you're talking to in the future, that you will be able to prove beyond reasonable doubt why we know God is a healer." And so that's what it's going to be, the first part of the message. Then I'm going to unveil my prop, and then we will move on to what God has said. But to prove beyond reasonable doubt, we're going to go on a trip through God's word. I'm going to be throwing a lot of scriptures at you. We won't be spending a lot of time on most of them. And that afterwards, I'm happy to give you the references and also happy to share ways that you can build your own case. But Josh, I believe you're there. You're going to get a workout. I am sorry. I had planned on giving you the scriptures beforehand, but I didn't. I'm sorry. I hope you still love me. You've given me the thumbs up. Okay. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3. A scripture that I love and I use a lot. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then it says in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. So if we go back to verse number 2 there, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. I remember many years ago, the first job I ever had, I worked for about 12 months for an accounting firm for Channel 9, and it was a good work start, but it certainly wasn't something I wanted to continue in. And then I took a job working at Keswick Bookshop because I loved Christian books, I loved Christian music, and I really, yes, saw a path forward in that particular, you know, area. And so I was privileged. I got a job and I really loved it. And I would get I'd get paid, I think it was weekly back then, which is probably unusual now. But, yeah, I'd get my weekly paycheck and I used to spend so much of it on buying the merchandise because I loved it. And I remember I'd been there for about probably 5 or 6 weeks. And I remember my boss called me into the office and he said, I saw you, you know, paying for this or doing something the other day. My first thought was, oh, I paid, I promised, you know, I'm not stealing. And he said, no, he said, do you realise that as a employee, you get 30% discount off everything? And he hadn't told me that when I started the job. So for the first 4 or 5 weeks, I'd bought heaps of stuff, but I just bought them at full price. I just put them through in the cash register, put the cash in, and I'd pay for it. And I didn't know that that was one of the benefits of working there. So I promise you, for the next 10 years that I was there, I never paid full price again. I never forgot that benefit, okay? Every time I would go, and once the benefit had been revealed to me, it was you know, plain sailing all the way. I said, okay, so I bought more because now I could buy them all at 30% off. And that, and so sometimes as Christians, we can, you know, why did David feel he had to say, forget none of these benefits? And that, because I think it is possible for us to go through life not knowing what Jesus has done for us. And that may sound simplistic, but sometimes we can be suffering in a particular area and we haven't stopped to actually look at the Word of God and see what God's Word says. So it says here, I'll just read it again, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. Now, there's other benefits listed after that. But I remember when I first began to look at it, I thought, I have no worries asking God to forgive me if I sin. I have never, ever felt any concern or shame of going to God and saying, I'm sorry, I've sinned, I've fallen in this area. And I would never do that and then go away and think, I wonder whether he's forgiven me. I wonder whether he's forgiven me. I am so assured of God's forgiveness. I am so assured of God's love that never questions me. But that question never comes to me. But there's times I can go and pray for healing and go away and say, Lord, I hope you're going to do this. And yet it says here, he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. So I have to go to him with the exact same confidence in healing that I do if I sin. The same confidence. I don't go, like please, I don't do real bad stuff, please. But we're all human, do you know what I mean? Maybe we'll make a mistake, you know, and that maybe, you know, I'll lose my temper with somebody or something like that. And I go and say, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry the way I treated my husband the other day. I'm sorry, Lord, that I did that. But I never get up feeling condemned. Because I go in an honest, I'm sorry, I've done the wrong thing, I know he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. The same God that said that also says he heals all your diseases. So I need to have that exact same confidence. When we're praying, I'm not praying and say, oh, I hope so, I wish, I maybe. I have to have that confidence that if he forgives all my sins, And I put a tick beside that. I have to put a tick beside the next one. He heals all my diseases. So then we're going to go for a few more scriptures, which I'll just read. Or this one I'll actually share on. John 19, verse 30. It says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." I was reading something the other day, and this a speaker or an author actually that I really like was sharing, and he said when he was in school doing his VCE exams, or equivalent to VCE, he was in America, but doing his final exams, he said you would sit in the exam room, and then he said when you had finished the exam, you would go and give it to the whoever it was, that was the examiner, the person who was in charge, and you would give it to them and you'd say, "I've finished," and then you would walk out. And he said, once you walked out, legally, you are never allowed to go back. He said, you can't suddenly walk out and think, "Oh, I forgot, I need to change that question," and go back in. When you have declared it's finished, it is finished, and there is no more say. He said that you cannot do anything. And he said, when Jesus died on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," it was a finished work. It was a finished work. He didn't go to the grave thinking, "Oh my goodness, I forgot that. Oh dear, I didn't include that." It was a totally finished work. Now, sometimes when a kid walks out of an exam, you can, I never did VCE. I left school at year 10, so I don't know exactly what it's like, but my kids have done it. When they walk out, there's times it's, "Oh, I wish I'd done this. Possibly I could have done that." But Jesus didn't do that. Now, they still couldn't go back and change it, but Jesus didn't do that. He knew 100%. When he said, "It is finished," siren's gone, game over, it is the end, it is finished, and everything has been done that we need to be able to get a hold of. In that, I want us to get such a confidence in what God has done. And that, it says Isaiah 54, verse 17, another scripture I love. "No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is from me, says the Lord my God." And that part of my heritage is the fact that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Sickness is a weapon. Fear is a weapon. Anxiety is a weapon. Depression is a weapon. And it says, no weapon formed against you. It doesn't say it won't be formed, but it says it will not prosper. It will not. I remember Brother Jerry talked to me for ages one day about this particular scripture. I still remember sitting, having coffee at Tullamarine Airport, waiting for his plane to board. And we were talking about this scripture. And he said, no weapon that is formed will be able to fulfill the purpose that it was formed for. He said it far kind of better than that. But basically, if you understand, the weapon will be maybe formed, but it will not be able to fulfill the purpose that it was formed for, or what it was formed for, because it said it will not prosper. It will not come to fulfillment. And that no weapon, no sickness, or no fear, anything else. These are all weapons. We can stand on Isaiah 54 and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Another one that I love, we should all know it off by heart, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, that we would know by his stripes we were healed. I love that because of the tense, okay? And that it is past tense. We were healed. It's telling us, we're looking back and we're saying, I know we were healed. I were healed. That's great English. Yeah, it is past tense. We're looking back. We're not saying that he bore our sins in his own body, that we could be healed. It says by his stripes, we were healed. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he sacrificed not only in addressed man's depravity, but it fully addressed the product of our sin, and one of those products is sickness. And so we need to understand the complete work of the cross. Now, I'm going quickly here. I'm just trying to build a case, okay? I'm in court. You're my jury. And I hope you'll be on my side by the end of this. Proverbs 4:22 says, "My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh." They are, the word of God is life to us, and it is health to our flesh. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return void." God's word will always accomplish what it was sent for. Void, one of the meanings of void, I was looking up last night, is without effect, okay? God's word will not return without effect. God's word will not return to him without doing what it was sent to do. Another one I love, which I quote a lot, Malachi 3:11, where it says, "As a result of faithfully tithing, he will rebuke the devourer for our sakes, that it will not destroy the fruit of our ground, nor shall our vine fail to bear fruit in the field, says the Lord of hosts." Sickness is a devourer. Sickness tries to devour our life. That's one of the devourers. There's so many. As I've told the testimony multiple times, when I was pregnant with Jordan, and when at the very early stages of the pregnancy, they didn't think I would be able to carry the baby. And every time I'd go to the gynecologist, it was kind of like gloom and doom. And I remember the Lord gave me this scripture, and he said, "You and Peter have tithed all your life, and I will rebuke the devourer, and you will not drop your fruit before time," which is the next part of that scripture. And I stood on that word for the whole, probably the last 7 months of the pregnancy, because I'd begun to get into problems in the very, very early stages. And so I stood on that word, and I have a 6'3" son who was playing the keyboard this morning, who is proof that God's word works. When men say it can't be done, and that God says, "I will rebuke the devourer." And I had to keep standing on that word month after month after month. And that I had to keep, I couldn't just say it once and say, "Thank you, that's good." I had to keep feeding my spirit until I had become like Abraham, fully persuaded that what God says was true. Because these scriptures I'm giving, we have to do more than give mental assent. Do you know what mental assent is? Yep, that's okay. We have to know that we know that we know. We have to be fully persuaded, like Abraham said, he was fully persuaded that God would do what he had said. If you want to read that story later, Romans 4, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and that I love that. Abraham did not agree with the circumstances. He agreed with God, and he was fully persuaded that God would do what he had said. James 5:15. It says, "The prayer of faith will save him who is sick. The Lord will restore him, and if he has committed sins, he will also be forgiven." Exodus 15, verse 26. We've just got a couple more. "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Exodus 23, verse 25 and 26. "You will serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Take sickness away from the midst of us, and there will nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land, and the number of your days I will fulfill." You know, often, not all the time, but we will often use that scripture when we're saying grace, and that we'll say that the Lord doesn't only just bless our bread and our water or our pizza and our chips or our lamb and our potatoes, whatever we're eating, but he also takes sickness away from the midst of us, and the number of our days he fulfills. The last scripture, Luke 9, verse 2. "He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." He sent his disciples out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So that is just a really, really quick overview. I said there is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to show you, I've got them here, and that if any of you are interested, these are just some of the ways you can find scriptures and that on healing. I will just, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a book which is just purely healing promises. All it is healing scriptures from the Bible. And that this is a book that I have read, and you can tell how many times I've read it by the condition of the cover. It's a 365-day devotional by Mark Brzee, and it is all heal. Every day he takes a different healing scripture. There is enough healing scriptures to carry you through an entire year, and he does a devotion on it. Keith Moore, I had a look last night. I don't think we can find it, so he may have stopped printing it. This did have a cover. The cover is, I'm not sure where. He produced this book many years ago, Healing for the Whole Man, where he actually takes every part of a person's body and writes all the scriptures that are connected to that part, or takes different diseases and write all the scriptures that actually specifically are connected to that. I've always found that so powerful and amazing how many times God covered things that I didn't really know he covered. But when you had a look. So those are just some of the resources you can get. I said most of them, the Kenneth Copeland one you can buy from his, from KCM in Queensland. I presume you could get this one online or at any of the Christian bookshops. And that, the Keith Moore one, I'm not as sure about, but I would be happy to photocopy it for anybody who would really like it and didn't have it. It's not a big book, but it's something which is really powerful. And that, I also recommend there's three healing books if people are wanting it. So this is just before I move on to the main part of my message. Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. An amazing, amazing book. It's been around many, 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 many years, well before I was on this earth. And that, but a powerful book that's been reprinted many times. Some one that you may not know near as much, but has been a massive blessing to our family. A gentleman called Kynan Bridges, and he wrote A 90 Day to Possessing Your Healing. And for 90 days, it's a little bit similar. He takes a different concept of healing and does a devotional on it. And then he wrote an actual book that goes along with it on taking authority over sickness in your life. And that powerful teaching, I'd never heard of him before this, but highly, highly recommend them. And that, and so there's a lot of resources you can get to build your own case. But then the greatest thing you can do is go to the Word, because that's what they're all based on, and that's what your faith should be based on if you want it to be fully persuaded faith. So I hope that just from that very quick run through the Bible, you understand that Jesus is awesome because he is a healer. Jesus is awesome because he has promised us healing, and yes, he is faithful. And that. So now we have our case, and my son-in-law can now tell me if I'm doing okay in court here. Thank you. Okay. And that. So I may actually see if I can get him to come and reveal my prop. We cannot move the prop, so you need to just, it needs to be there. We just need to take the blue off it, and we should see it. Okay. It's not a person. I wish I was taller. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't realize actually how tall it is and how well. Okay. This is an anchor, a handmade anchor from the Stockwell Sailing Boat Company. And that, I'm not sure where they sell them, but this is my anchor. And that is the, I said, we're going to get nautical just for a little bit. I said to Peter last night, and that, you know how at home I am on the sea. I'm as home on the sea as I am out camping. And any of you who know me go, I do not do camping. I do not do sea either. I'm not, I nothing against it. I've just never really been a person. Give me a paddle boat that just goes a little bit out, but I need to see the shore. Okay, I don't like to be away from the shore. But that's just me. But I so this week I began to study what an anchor is and study about ships. And I learned a lot. I actually really enjoyed doing it. So for the sake of those who maybe don't know as much as I do in the nautical area, this is an anchor. And I would like to give the definition of an anchor. I'm sure you all know, but sometimes it can open your eyes when you hear a definition. An anchor is a device usually made of metal, and it is attached to a ship or a boat by a cable and is cast overboard to hold it in a particular place. And it says by means of a fluke that digs into the bottom. When I saw fluke, I thought it meant it was an accident. And I realised, no, a fluke is also a nautical instrument. I won't go any further in that because that's the end of my knowledge. But basically, an anchor is thrown in to hold a ship in a particular place so you don't have boats floating off, you know, wherever they feel like it. And so that was one of the things. I love the fact that it said it's cast overboard to hold it in a particular place. Another definition is a reliable or principal support, a mainstay. Now, they actually used an American football term in this. A quarterback will often be the anchor of a team's offense in America. That's what they call it. So basically, they are saying he's the one who anchors the offense. He's the one who's, and not offense as he's not upset with other people. Okay? Defense and offense, and that going into sport. And so, but they said he's the one that the team will look to. He's the one who they are relying on to anchor their victory, okay? And then another one says, an anchor is something that serves to hold an object firmly. And so when we look at this anchor and in the whole gist of the sermon is that I'm wanting us today to get an anchor in that we can anchor our belief for healing in, okay? So that was what all the scriptures are about, and that was leading to this because we are building an anchor today, but we're building it out of the Word of God. Mark and Sam built this amazing anchor out of plywood. Okay, it looked even sturdier than that. So, okay, but they built it out of plywood. We're building an anchor today out of the Word of God. So I was looking up last night in the Webster's Dictionary, they had uses of the word anchor. And a couple of them really stood out to me. One said, to hold in place by means of an anchor. It anchors a ship. But then it says, to fasten to a firm foundation. Okay? Another one says, you drop your anchor so you are anchored in the harbour and nothing will be able to move you. And as I began to get a picture of what an anchor was, I thought, Lord, I really believe that this is what you want us to do. You are awesome because you heal, and that is what the whole month of April is about. But we need something, we need to build an anchor this morning. And as I said, we're not going to build the anchor out of plywood or metal or anything else. We're building it out of the Word of God. And so what I would like to do is I would actually like to get Brooke up. And then I'll maybe get Peter to come and help me. And I just want to do an illustration. Cam, where did the cover go? That was, if I could have the cover. Okay, Brooke is our Christian, okay? Brooke is representing.
I've got to imagine it.
And she is also not feeling well, or she's battling some sickness in her body. So I'm going to get Peter to tie this rope around her waist. This is not a murder mystery. This is, you know, that was at the beginning of the sermon. Okay, he's going to tie this around her waist. And I just want you to get a visual of this. And then he's going to tie the other end to the anchor somewhere, maybe at the back. Oh, you can tie it to the spot where you tie things on. That's even better. Okay. I'll give her a bit more leeway. Maybe a little bit more. Yeah, now. Okay. We've got her on a leash. We've got to work out how far. Okay. I need Mark. Can you come up, please? Mark is going to represent the enemy. I'm sorry, Mark. You built the anchor and then you got the bad job. Okay. So for the sake of the church, I didn't bring water. So I didn't feel I could ask my husband or the board if they would let me have water flowing up here. But I want you, this is water, okay? So Mark is representing water. So I want you to see Brooke, just stand a little bit close. Okay. So Brooke is believing for healing in her body, or maybe for healing in the body of somebody in her family. And she is standing on God's word, which is represented by this anchor. All those scriptures which I have listed and written, and all the other thousands of scriptures, and that she's built an anchor. But just because she's built an anchor and tied herself to it, does that mean it'll be smooth sailing? When a ship comes into like Station Pier, and that recently I went down with the family to see the Disney cruise ship come in, and that when it was coming into Australia, I think it went to Melbourne for the first time, and it was incredible to see this massive Disney ship come in. But then when they threw the anchor down, did that mean that there would be no movement in that ship for the next 3 or 4 days? Because the waves will move it. The anchor just means it can't get away. It can't suddenly float out and they find Mickey Mouse is halfway to Tasmania, you know, with all the people on board. So the anchor is for a different purpose. The anchor is to keep it there, but it does not keep it perfectly still. So Mark, if you would like to come over here. So I've got Brooke just standing really close to her anchor, and then I want Mark to kind of come and try to wave, throw the water around her, and in particular between her and the anchor, and you see that she's like a butterfly. She's flying.
I'm doing butterfly stroke.
She's doing butterfly stroke in the water. Okay, this was not rehearsed. And that, so you really wave it violently, and the more it gets, if you can see, I'll come back here, and that, see what's happening. But one of the things, because she has tied herself to the anchor, eventually she will make her way back. She will come back because she is firmly tied to the anchor. And that, and it doesn't matter how much Mark throws that around and how violent he gets, and that as long as she does not undo her rope and pull herself away, or undo that rope and slip out of it and think, I can't do this any longer, she will stay connected. But it's when you suddenly find that you're believing God's word, you're standing on God's word, and then here comes Mark. The symptoms come. The bad reports come. You read something in the news. The fear comes. You have a choice then. Am I still going to stay connected? Am I going to keep this anchor tied around me? It would not be hard for Brooke to slip out of that. Brooke's fairly slim. That's a very wide anchor that Peter's given her. She could probably just step out of it. It would not be hard, but she's choosing, despite what Mark is doing, she is choosing, and that to keep herself attached so she can keep coming back and coming back, and eventually Mark's got to stop because he realises that his arms are tied, and he also realises that it doesn't matter and that, how many times he tries, how rough the sea gets, she's still anchored.
Yeah.
And he ends up giving up. So there you go. Thank you so much, Mark. And thank you, Brooke. You can slip out if you're anchored, but that was for the purpose of it. And so I really, as I was praying about this whole message and regarding the absolute importance of us being anchored, to be able to walk in the divine health that God wants us to be able to see God's healing power, we must stay anchored. We must build an anchor to start with, okay? Mark built and Sam built this for me, but we must build an anchor out of God's word, and then we must attach ourselves to it in a way that we cannot be pulled. As I said, it does not mean you won't have times when the enemy will come and try to slam you and that, but as long as you stay attached and that, then you will see victory and you will see God's word come to pass. And you know, as long as at those cruise ships, when they come, as long as they firmly attach the anchor to the cruise ship, the captain can leave and go and stay in the city for the night. And if he comes back the next morning, his ship will still be there. As long as he has anchored it properly and he has got a strong enough anchor and he believes in his anchor, he can go off confidently. No, I'll come back and my ship hasn't gone walkabouts or run floatabouts. You know, my ship hasn't gone off. And that's what we need. And so this morning, what I'm saying, God is saying, so you can see the awesome power of Jesus, so you can see his healing power, he wants you to build an anchor. And we are going to, I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning. Kirsty built, now an anchor is normally a chain, not a rope, but we did not feel we could chain Brooke up. So that Kirsty began last night building a chain for me. And this is a chain that's got both scriptures and testimonies or things that she's believing for. So, you know, one of the other things that can build an anchor in our lives, the first one and the main one is the Word of God. It is the having that fully persuaded faith like Abraham in God's Word. Secondly, it is testimonies. When God has done before, because it talks in the Bible. How many times has David said, I would have stopped, except I looked back and I thought of all the things God had done for me. So many times in Psalms, he talks about recalling the goodness of God. And I preached a whole sermon on that years ago, the importance of recalling God's goodness, the importance of having a testimony book, in whether it's actually a book that you've written in or whether it's just in your heart, that when the enemy comes, I can say, you know what? I remember the last time I was sick. I remember the last time you tried to do this to me. And look what happened. And you're not going to win this time either, because I've got testimonies in my anchor as well as the Word of God. And that. And one of the other things that Kirsty put in this, which I really liked, was things that she is believing for. She hasn't seen them manifest yet, but she knows the power of the anchor. And so she's putting them in the chain as well. And so there's things she's believing for, scriptures she's standing on, testimonies of breakthroughs she's seen. And together she is making a chain that we will, at the end of this, put attached to our anchor, and that will represent what we are believing God for. And so what I really had in my heart to do, we've got, again, courtesy of the Stockwells, we've got a whole lot of black card here. I'd like the musicians, if you could come up and maybe begin to play How Great Is Our God. Is that okay? We've got a whole lot of pieces of this black cardboard, and actually if you could maybe put the whole thing down for me, and we're going to put it down there, and we're going to begin to just worship God for a little bit. I just really want to worship him. And as we're doing that, if you are believing God for healing in your body, or if you are believing God for healing for somebody else, if you just want to come and write a scripture that God has quickened to you, it could be one of them that I mentioned or one of them that's always been quickened to you. And if you want to do something to actually give you, moving forward, a physical, a visual of what you believe, that you are anchoring yourself to the Word of God. And then if you come and you write those just in Texter, and then I'm going to get Kirsty to help us, and we're just going to staple them, and we're going to add them to this chain. And then at the end of our time of worship, at the end of this message, and that we're going to hang this as a church on the anchor of what we are believing to see this month. In this month that we are believing to see miracles, we are believing to see God work in people's lives, we are believing to see healings. And I really would love as many of you as want to. Nobody's going to know what you write, because it's just going to be stapled and put up there, and we're going to have that as a visual. This is our anchor. The reason we can confidently say that we know Jesus is a healer is because of what he said in his word. His word, he cannot lie. God cannot lie. And that also the number of times we have seen healings. You know, the number of times when we've been tested as a family and challenged physically, And I will begin to recall. I'll look at Brooke. She's not wearing heels today, but that's because it looked more trendy to wear runners with the outfit. But, you know, I was there when that physio said she will never wear heels again. She will never, ever be able to run. And that because this injury cannot be fixed. And yet I see her at least once a month do a half marathon, which is running 21 Ks. She wears heels all the time. Not when she's doing the marathon. No, she does not run in the heels. That's she runs in the sneakers. But I'm saying that I've seen the power of God. I sat there in a, and this was not a dodgy physio. This was not some, you know, C-grade, you know, kind of bulk billing physio. This was a physio who worked for the AFL and was one of the, like, very highly decorated as far as all of, you know, how good he was. And yet he said, there's nothing we can do. We've done everything medically possible. You will never be able to wear heels and you'll never be able to run. She lives in heels and she loves to run. She runs all the time. But as I said, her faith goal when he said that was one day I'll run a half marathon. And I think you said that to me in the car. I think when we got in the car, I remember she turned and said, one day I will run a half marathon. I don't know how many half marathons she's run now because she does it, I said, at least once a month. Now she's aiming to run a proper marathon. And that's what she's got her goals set on because God healed her. I look at so many areas where I said, where the world said, there's no way. I look at my son who's not up there because he's in Super Kids now. But when they said, you won't be able to carry him to full term, you will not be able to have this baby, and that he's not going to last. He's very lasted. He is, you know, so full of life, so abounding in life. You know, the other thing they told me, I remember they said, if towards the end when I kept carrying him, I remember the doctor said, I think he's going to be very small. And he said, we need you to carry him absolutely the full term because we think he will be very, very small. And that, and we stood on God's word. And then at 36 weeks, 4 weeks early, a situation arose where they actually lost his heartbeat and they didn't know what had happened. And so in the end, the doctor said to me, I think we're just going to have to put you in for a cesarean straight away at 36 weeks. But he said, but remember, he said he's going to be very small. And that they put me in a few hours later. I gave birth to Jordan, 36 weeks. He was 9 pounds 1. The gynecologist nearly fainted. He said, I've been a gynecologist for 40 years. I have never, ever guessed so wrong. He is not small. He is not quite or, you know, he is the liveliest, most energetic, you know, person. You know Jordan. You know what he's like. And I said, I see that, and yet I still remember those days sitting in a room where you're getting told this. And these are testimonies that help to anchor me, but they all started on the Word of God. Do you understand? The Word of God must be the foundation, then testimonies come after that. So as Chris leads us in this song, How Great is Our God, I would love you to come and just to grab one of these pieces of paper, these pieces of cardboard, and just write any of the scriptures on it or whatever you're believing God for. That's between you and God. And that, and then just put it on the stage here in front. I'll get Kirsty to staple them, and then we're going to have prayer over them all. So if you're believing for healing in your body, your family, somebody else, whatever it is, come on down. Sounds like the price is right. Come on down. This is your opportunity to build a chain for your anchor. Come on, run down. Do that. Come down and write these down, and then we will put them on, and then we're going to pray and praise over them. And I believe we will see testimonies from this today in Jesus' name.